Where are the apps on this thing? I can't figure it out.
You hit the small barely illuminated roundish rectangle, and then that will bring up.
That doesn't bring up anything.
That's the other side. It's upside down. I'm
stop
sorry.
It. Come on.
And then you go.
I don't understand this device.
You press that, and then you press the little up the home icon. That's an upwards arrow.
Okay.
And then you go to
what?
Downloads.
No.
Obviously. And then you go to HP App Catalog. Obviously.
So that's the only way to get to it is to go to down. You can't go right now. Like,
this is Pivot, though. This is the custom magazine that's an app discovery experience that they enlisted. Isn't this making it easier for you?
No.
It's not easier.
No.
Hmm.
We, by the way.
Or you can go to categories, and that tells you. Hold on 1 second. It's still loading. Okay. Then it gives you categories that we had before. And here I can go see. I can GOP News and Kindle and Angry Birds. Well, it has Angry Birds, which oh, that's all you need. That's all you need.
See if you can scroll. Look at that scrolling experience.
What? It's well, here's the thing. I touch and I move up and then it moves. It's just thinking. It's thinking.
So what we're talking about, well, before we say that, Brian is going
to
say.
Welcome to Tech Bacon, episode 19, July 1st, 2011, ladies and gentlemen. Broadcasting on Friday today instead of our usual Saturday because Scott is going to be out of town tomorrow. You're going to be traveling to?
I'm going to Chicago for the holiday and spending a week out in Chi-Town and the surrounding suburbs.
Mm-hmm. Leaving the show, but it's okay.
Leaving the show.
It's going to be good. Next week, we're going to
expand our horizons.
We're going to do an exciting Skype broadcast tomorrow, which will bring our audio quality to all new lows. But we're still going to do it. It's going to be awesome.
Brian will sound fine. I will sound Skype-ish.
Exactly. I'll just push in like the low end. I'll EQ you up the low end. It'll be good.
You'll do good.
Oh, yeah. It'll be okay. Don't worry.
Brian is the master engineer.
Not so much, but whatever. We do what we can.
Take the compliment, man.
We do what we can.
So what we were just discussing was a real conversation.
Correct. This happened about a half an hour ago. We decided we wanted to go and review one of the upcoming tablets. We'd talked about the Android tablets. We'd seen the Zoom and we'd seen the Acer 49,000 XL, whatever that one was called.
I got some hands-on time with the Galaxy 10.1 tab. Yeah,
and we looked at the playbook before.
Right.
So it was obviously time to go and follow up Tablet Watch 2011 with a look at the HP
touchpad.
Of course.
Of course. I had high hopes for this.
I got to say, too, I was very excited. The OS was always really interesting on the pre. You know, it's always WebOS right. has always been really, really interesting. The metaphors, like the conceptualization behind it is very, very smart and makes a lot of sense. And so seeing it on a tablet, it seemed like there was a lot that they could do with the extra real estate and, you know, hopefully a better processor. And could really go and, like, you know, could be a really good product and –
And so we took it, we unboxed it. We have some unboxing photos that we'll post up. But design-wise, let's start with that.
Sure.
Design-wise, well, just physical.
It looks – when you take it out of the box, it looks exactly like a first-gen iPad, which other people have said before. It's all plastic.
Right.
It's all black basically from the back to the front. It looks nice and shiny like you would expect.
It's shiny black plastic.
Yeah.
Back and stuff.
It's a little bit – it's heavier than the first-gen iPad. But not like in a prohibitive
not crazy
so,
way.
Yeah.
And a little shorter.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a little shorter. Not screen real estate, but just the whole device as a whole.
On its back?
Just from top to bottom.
Oh, from top to bottom. Yeah, the bezel. There's less of a bezel, which I mean.
You
notice that if you put one on top of the other, but whatever. Right. The back is plastic. It's not metal like the iPad or – is the 10.1 metal in the back?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It feels – this thing, it just feels – and you pointed it out first – just feels kind of cheap a little bit.
Yeah. Like surprising because it's got some heft to it, you know, because
right.
of the size and like the dimensions feel good in your hand, but it also it makes it feel like smaller and chintzier for some reason.
You know what it kind of feels like? Have you ever held the Samsung phones?
I have not.
The Galaxy line phones. They have that same feel.
Really? Because those look fantastic.
They look beautiful,
yeah.
But when you hold them, they're really light, which is fine, but they just have this like you feel like it can break in half at any moment.
Well, that's no good.
You know, it's a similar – it reminded me of that, the way
right.
this looks.
Yeah. This is surprisingly so because it's the front, the screen is very, very beautiful.
Yeah, it's
and
a
like
nice screen.
You know, and like I said, it's shiny in all the right ways. It's got like – you know, there's like a volume rocker on the side. There's like a power
right.
button on the top. If you know where the buttons are on an iPad, it's exactly the same
thing. The same thing, yeah.
But it looks really, really nice. But then when you kind of put your hands – put it in landscape. And
it's when you're
your
holding
hands,
it.
Yeah. And you're kind of like, oh, just
– What's – yeah.
Yeah, it reminds
me – It's the
me,
feel. It's the actual tactile feel that's – that's cheap.
It's almost like too when you see some of those LCD TVs that are really, really pretty. You're like, oh, that looks really neat. And then you go actually to move it or pick it up and you realize it's just kind of like a plastic contraption that's about to fall apart.
Right.
It's like one of those.
Same kind of.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay. Then we turned it on.
Yeah. It looked pretty.
Yeah.
Screen's nice, like you said.
Yeah. The screen is really, really beautiful. Nice colors. Contrast is good. I don't know if it's the exact same panel that the iPad or iPad 2 use. I mean, it is, the viewing angles are really, really great. So I don't know if it's IPS or not, but
they're nice.
Yeah. It's that same kind of thing where you can kind of be off to the side. We're both crowding around it, but, you know, it's great viewing angles. First thing we noticed is that it took a long time to boot up.
It took a while.
Yeah.
But
that can happen from time to time. So you're like, whatever. And then we started loading apps. You're not loading apps. We're just like starting applications on the device that were already there.
Yeah, just starting.
And just like browser or mail, and what happened?
There was a lag.
Yeah.
There was a lag in just starting an app.
Yeah. Well, you know, I take that back. The first thing we did is we actually had to page through about five different, you know, non-disclosure acceptance terms and conditions agreements.
Which I kind of, after I thought about it for a second, it made a little more sense because of the way they do it with, you have to sign into accounts to do.
To do this, the synergy, basically the what synergy. It does, so, you sign into all your kind of, you know, basically email and, you know, and Facebook and, you know, all your basically accounts that you use on the internet, and it collates all that information into various ways into the OS, which is awesome. Nice. And it's called Synergy, and that's a really, really great feature that I really, really like about WebOS.
Yeah.
But because of that, the first thing you do is sign up your accounts, and so
I just want to start using
you had to do all these different things. Comparatively to like, you know, iOS 5 with like, even with iCloud, you're not having to go and page through any license agreements
to do that.
Just log in, set it up, and then you're good to go.
You're good to go.
Where this felt more like, you know, a little bit more work, but whatever.
I think on the Android side, I recall there being an accepting thing in the first boot also. I mean, you sign in with your Google account and then you accept.
Yeah.
I
there's
mean,
one on
pretty quick.
Apple has it every time. It's usually for the iTunes, you know, store terms and conditions. Every time they change anything that you have to go through the same thing. And if you're on your credit card, that's a total pain.
Right. Right.
But just coming off that iOS 5 where it's really, really fun to start, it was a bit of a bummer, but, you know, whatever. So we start loading
stuff. Using it, the web browser was the first thing we immediately went to.
Yeah.
Which was odd.
Well,
to
first,
say the least.
First thing you notice is that when you're trying to go and touch buttons,
The
targeting isn't quite right. So basically, you feel like you're touching the button, and it's registering a touch just slightly off from that. So you touch the middle of a button, and the button doesn't get pushed.
It feels like there needs to be some sort of optimizer where you go through to optimize your touch or something because it's off.
Yeah. Well, what they do on the iPhone and the iPad is, you know, they have it offset. So when you actually touch something on, you know, an iPad or an iPhone, you're not. It's registering a touch where you think you're touching, not where your finger actually is. Because when we look at it, our finger is actually, you know, below the point that we think we're touching. And so it's kind of they've worked it out so there's an offset that so it kind of works. Where this, it's actually touching exactly where my finger is, and I'm.
It's actually too precise.
Yeah. Well, it's literally what you're doing. It's not. Yeah.
But it's annoying. You can't.
Because it takes like three hits for any button. You're like, okay, done. And then nothing happens.
You're just trying to click things and nothing's happening.
Like, why is it not happening?
I'm like, Brian, I don't think you clicked that.
And also, even when you do hit it, there's this lag we saw across the board where you would go and you'd hit the button. And it has this really, really beautiful, you know, like water drop animation that happens.
It looks nice.
But then like a split second later, there's a color shift and then the button color and the buttons change state after that point. So it's like there's this nice animation to make it feel like it's doing something, but it's taking a moment, not like a second, but it's taking a beat to register your touch enough where it's noticeable on every single touch on the device.
Everything. I mean, we noticed it across the board.
Yeah. And then we started loading up the web browser, which was bizarrely difficult.
Well, I mean, just getting the first web page up was not hard. I mean, we were able to do that right off the bat. That was pretty easy. But then trying to do multiple pages is where it gets weird.
Because, well, first, there's no tab browsing.
Right. There's no tab browsing.
Yeah. There's multiple. You can have multiple pages open.
Is there tab browsing on iPad 2?
Yeah.
There is.
Yeah. And there was always, you could always go and navigate an iPad 1. You basically, whenever you'd go to your view of open web pages, it would sort them all out with a screenshot of each one.
Similar to what Safari does on that.
Exactly.
You can choose that. And Chrome, you can do that. And Firefox too now, actually.
Exactly the same. Yeah. So you can always, if you open up, you know, a page here and you want to do something else, you could always switch back. For an OS that's all about multitasking, it seems
the only way to get out is to hit the physical button.
Yeah, well, but to switch pages, you really can't do it. You have to kind of pull it on the side and maybe touch it that way. It's very, very awkward. Yeah.
And it was strange. Now, the nice implementation of that, I mean, I like the whole card concept.
I do as
and
well.
And, you know, flicking things away and sliding them around, that works really well.
Yeah. And how it works, if you haven't seen it, basically you load up the device and the entire front of the device is basically blank. There's a dock at the bottom, for lack of a better word, that you can, you know,
customize with your favorites.
Exactly.
Like
and
the
you can,
iPad.
Yeah. And you can pull up like, you know, an app drawer or your settings drawer from the bottom. But when you have apps run, they appear minimized as cards in the main, you know, in the main display of the device. And you basically slide them, you know, back and forth. And that's how you go from app to app. You could have your web browser open, and if you have your email and it's open like two apps back, you just, you know, swipe over there. You hit it and it comes full screen. And then when you're in that minimized view as well, if you want to go and quit a running app, you just go and swipe it upwards, which is really kind of nice. And it just kills it. There's no double tapping of buttons or holding thing down for an X, you know, a little X red mark like there is on the iPad. You just kind of go and like swipe it up and it's gone. But in terms of actually navigating between different instances of particular application, different different web pages, for example, it was actually strangely difficult and unintuitive. In fact, for something that seems like it should make so much sense, there was a lot of us moving around trying to figure out, you know, how things work, because we sat down and we didn't want to read the manual, because the kind of, you know, the test of all this stuff.
We wanted to jump right in.
Yeah, the test of all these things is, can you pick it up, give it to your parents, and have them just kind of go and get it right from the get-go? And it's one of those things where it screams out to have everything be touch-based, i.e. no home button whatsoever.
But right, so the home button seems like it's actually unnecessary.
It's necessary because you can't do certain things. It seems inappropriate. Because basically how it works, if you're within an app and you want to go back to that main, you know, card view, you have to go and press the home button. That's the only way to get back there. But when you're on screen doing stuff on screen and you're swiping around everything else,
right,
that seems like going back, being you're using your keyboard for everything on your computer and then having to go back to a mouse for one function.
Well, I think they need a – and they need a touch feature that does that same function, so it doesn't need to be a physical button.
Correct.
You know, like Honeycomb got rid of physical buttons in what they did, and they, you know, HP could easily do the same thing if they wanted to. It seems like we need a home button because iPads have home buttons.
Well, it's
right?
I don't think so. There's definitely a need for it. You know, like the way the OS, you cannot operate it without button.
But
it seems
not
like
a physical one.
Well, there needs to be a button. I feel like they should.
Which is okay.
Well, I think they should have gone and done something touch based. Like the entire time, you and I are instinctively we're trying to do a four fingered pinch or a five fingered pinch because it's so touchable. It's really
a
really wonderful.
Double tap or something.
It seems like it should be
to
that.
Bring you out.
Because like on the iPad, you very much everything is modal. Nothing switches off of it. So it's like everything takes up the full screen. There's only one way to get in or get out of anything. You know, you press the home button to get back. You launch an app to get in. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way around it. There's none of the swiping back and forth because it is so fluid.
Right.
It seems like it should all be gesture-based. You wouldn't want that. And I think that's my biggest takeaway.
If you're going from app to app, I guess it's okay. It was only really weird when it was the different browser windows to me. Because if you want to go to the next app and you go out and slide around to the next one you want and bring it up, that you could do that very fluidly.
Well, I think
if you're going from Facebook to browser.
But I think the problem is, like, let's say you're doing stuff on the screen, you know, then you have to press the home button here on the side. That's going to come up. Then you have to go back to the screen to slide around and then touch it.
Well, no, the home button is the side screen.
But I'm saying that's what it is. The home button takes you back to that screen because it seems like you should be able to go and just go and slide from app to app, or you do it all with gestures because switching from.
Well, I kind of had that on the playbook and it was really annoying.
I think going from something that. Well, I think the playbook is annoying on many levels.
No, but it had exactly that.
But I think
and it didn't really
depends
work.
On the execution. I think maybe they do it where you hold the finger on the side and then do it. There could be something, but going from having to go to has press a button to get to home screen and then go to sliding around just seems like switching modes.
Like if you're, you know, like you're in the calendar here and then you want to get out and go to the web browser, like that, you know, that's a pretty easy.
I guess to me, it's just like it's,
you know,
since the whole OS is built, it's like that's the only single function for that.
Well,
it seems conceptually, it seems a bad conceptual,
but like,
you know, solution.
If you're working on an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
When you want to switch an app, you hit the home key and you go out and you go into the next thing.
Correct.
So it's the same.
But I'm saying the conception of the way the iPad works is that intellectually, the way you interact with it is there's only one thing running at any given time. So going back to a home screen and then launching a separate app makes sense because that's how you perceive the device working.
Mm-hmm.
This is all about the device doing multiple things at a given time and they're all there easily accessible. So having to go back to like...
You just want a different way to get to this window
correct.
As opposed to pressing the button.
Correct, correct. Using that home button seems like a very, very poor solution
to the
problem.
The screen itself and the concept of flipping back and forth makes sense.
I love it.
Button.
And it seems they betray that concept with the button.
Right.
They need to go and like, if they're going to go touch and keep it all in and keep everything's always active at the same time, embrace that completely.
Yeah, that makes – I get what you're saying.
Because I think it helps – it ends up breaking the metaphor a little bit.
Right. Right. And maybe they'll revise that. Yeah, it's awkward. It's awkward.
Yeah.
So what else were we looking at? Oh, the mail. That was kind of cool. The three pane.
Yeah, they had, basically it was three panes. If you've used the Twitter iPad app, it's a similar thing where you can kind of move the panes around. And they'll lock in this case, which is nice. Can't resize them, which is a bummer, but, you know, yeah, whatever. But,
the Facebook app had the same thing.
Yeah.
But the Facebook app took forever.
Really weird problem. And I don't know if this was just about...
the first time, maybe.
Yeah, and because there was stuff that was syncing and loading, but like load times across all apps.
And I mean, this thing delays like crazy.
If you turn it from portrait to landscape, it takes a good 3 seconds sometimes to go and switch around. Load times across the board are really, really, really long. Not in a way that is necessarily bad unto itself.
It's noticeable, though.
But in a way that is bad because the competition does not have those problems.
No.
You know, you need basically – because you basically put up against an iPad, you're like, oh. You know, and those simple things. And it's those simple things that make the experience
and I wonder
fun
if it's, do you
and
think,
interesting for people. They make it, you know, accessible.
No, totally. Do you think it is a software flaw inherently, or do you think it's a hardware flaw that it's not powerful enough? Just like your gut feeling. Like, what do you –
originally,
I'm curious.
Well, the
I'm
problem
not
when
sure.
the Pre and the Pre 2 even came out, it's like it's a great OS, but it's laggy. The hardware is not there yet.
And I think it's maybe the same thing.
But then this came out. And this is running – I mean, what's the processor speed? Well, I mean, we'll look it up in a second. This is running a fast processor for a mobile device.
Sure, true.
To have this be this pronounced to me, at a certain point, it has to be
– I wonder if
it's because – in the OS. It has to be.
I wonder if it's because it relies so much on the web where it's getting your content with the synergy.
Because that comes down –
it's not storing it.
But it shows you because it caches it locally. Yeah, it caches it locally.
But – you know, like when we were loading that Facebook app, it was really
– well, the first time it took like, you know, literally
I turned it off
4 minutes to load the Facebook app. No joke. But it was syncing all your content then.
Right.
You know, and the second time when we launched it subsequently after we quit it, it went right away.
But just like even when we were looking at emails, remember right. We saw them load like
– well, that's just a way in which it's like redrawing the screen. I think that's different than – that's not necessarily, I think accessing the web. All your emails are going
to think it's just accessing the cache. Well, then it's going to be too slow.
Then that becomes like, you know, a graphics problem and like a display problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, but it was really – it was odd because I would think – I feel like this one coming out is going to be powerhousey enough.
Yeah.
I mean because –
I'm bummed, man.
Given that it's integrated software and hardware, it shouldn't have these kind of basic problems. It's not like they have to go and like – they can't go in there and like tweak
this
the OS.
This is HP making the device and the software
a year, which, you know, in truth isn't a lot of time going from, you know, soup to nuts with basically all they have is like the pre-OS before. But still – it's shocking. We just launched the Facebook app off of a clean reboot. It's still going. And now it's up. That's not great, but it's dealable.
It took about 10 seconds to load for the feed to come. 10 seconds is a lifetime when you're loading a program.
But for certain things, I feel like that wouldn't be bad for that kind of application. Like if my Twitter app took me 10 seconds, I would be out.
Well,
you know?
That, yeah.
Because I can load up Facebook.com.
Oh, interesting.
On the web browser, see what takes longer.
That's good. I mean, like calendar, it comes up
instantly.
You know, pretty much right away. Yeah. Let's see. We'll go into what are we going to Facebook.com?
Yeah. Yeah, and this Facebook app obviously is the first tablet Facebook app that they've had out there.
Oh, that's true. All right, I'm loading Facebook.com. Well, I have to sign in, but to get the page itself. Came up right away.
Okay, well, sign in and then tell me how long it – let's say okay. How long it takes me to get dinner.
Well, then vamp while I do
that. I'll vamp. I'm going to do a song and dance number. boom, you're already done.
I mean,
yeah.
The browser
is comparatively slow. We ran it neck to neck with my iPad 1 and on the same network. It was strangely slow. I don't know what that is, if that's JavaScript or what's going on with that. But
also interesting is it loaded the full-on Facebook page and not the mobile, which is kind of cool.
I don't think they have the nobody's bothered with the user agents on the browser yet.
But the fact that this came up way faster than the app, that shouldn't happen.
Well, that's the thing. Then why bother? You know, it isn't that nicer. And quite honestly, you can't even go in. There's a camera on the touchpad. There's not a way to go and take a picture directly from the Facebook app.
No.
So why bother? Like, what's the only thing you can't do on the, you know, on the browser version?
It was not, you know what was nice, though? When you clicked on a link in the Facebook app, it brought up the web page, the full web page of that link still within the app, and you saw the comments on the right side.
Which is nice.
Which I haven't seen that that use anywhere. That's neat.
Yeah. I bet you that's what we'll see with the iPad and the Android one eventually too. Does Facebook have an Android app yet?
A tablet one?
Phones. They have a phone one.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And they just update it. Didn't I show you that?
Oh, you're right. You did.
So
And then basically there was a we tried some Flash performance.
We did.
Which,
although we only tried HD, we didn't try standard def.
Well, the other thing we tried, the first thing we tried was standard def.
Flash. Oh, yeah. Okay. Right.
So there was a bunch of different sources we tried, and it went from being okay to, I mean, there was nothing great about it. There was some stuff played fine. There's some weird artifacting if there was ever like kind of a control bar at the bottom of the video that would make
things wonky.
The formatting
was a little funky, but the Amazon HD ended up, it took a little while, but then it ended up playing great.
Yeah.
It looked nice.
When we changed tabs, then it started degrading, and then it went back. It wasn't rock solid like it is in a browser, which I guess you wouldn't expect.
Although, you know what I would like to load up a...
an adult site. I know you would. Yeah. We can't do that right now.
Exactly. No,
broadcasting.
Just a Flash animation on here.
That's a good idea.
Let me see if I can think of something that has... I know. Disneyland. I'm going to be wholesome. Wholesome for the kids here.
Wholesome for the kids. Yes. We're all about the kids. It's family fun time here at Tech Bacon.
We're going to load up Disneyland.com and we're going to see...
Now we're going to wait about 4 seconds for the screen to change orientation. And,
Maybe I and can Skype. Disney's Lidland.
Apparently the spelling correction and Scott's typing are both excellent on the touchpad. Anytime now, Scotty. Come on.
I can't type.
Man.
Okay. Take two. Enter.
Because it's Disneyland.com that you're loading.
So we're loading it up. There's Flash on the page. I know. So let's see how it goes.
Some stars, a little Tinkerbell thing running around.
Pretty.
This is what Scott does on his computers all the time, by the way.
I mean, this is a... Oh, see, that's annoying.
What happened?
When Scott it goes to another page, it doesn't go to a tab. It loads out and loads up.
It's interesting. Every time you go and open up a new web page, it basically pulls out to that card view and then loads up the new page. And this one, you hit a link and it opened up two different tabs for something. Is there a pop-up happening there?
There must be. It's very strange.
It's just a very, very – it's the browser in particular seems very having single window operation, which is weird.
Yeah. The Flash animation, though, is loading pretty – I mean, this is pretty normal for
– It's a little jittery. Come on.
Yeah, it is. It is a little jittery. Well, and this has a lot coming on, too. So this is a good test, actually. So anyway, I mean, it works.
Yeah.
Right?
Also, what was weird is the thing was getting a little bit hot on the back, which was
it
kind of
still
surprising.
If you feel it now, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely getting warm back there. Yeah. All in all, disappointing device.
And disappointing because I think we both wanted it to be really good because it has so much potential.
There is so much great in WebOS in the approach in terms of
it the concept.
Because
conceptually,
one thing we've
cool.
talked about before is that. And this goes back to the synergy concept more than anything else. By the way, we don't have any Prees or Palm Pixies or
no, I have used the Pre before,
but we can't use like the copy files over and that. There's a whole bunch of features where you can go and tap to share information between devices. We couldn't test that out,
right?
But in terms of like you and I have talked off the air before about how we go and we have all these different pieces of data on the internet, like social stuff that, and they're all kind of siloed basically. And one thing that's great about Synergy, basically, you sign in with all your accounts. And it basically takes all that information and puts it all together in one cohesive experience. Kind of like your device becomes the warehouse for all your info. You don't have to worry about what is where. And I feel like there's all these little nudges that Android will go further in that direction or Apple will go that far in that direction. And everybody's like really excited about it because it makes so much intuitive sense. But nobody really even has that overall approach that Synergy does, that WebOS has. And so there are things about that, like the multitasking metaphor with the card, some of it makes so much sense and is so great and so neat and should be so much fun to use.
Yeah.
And to have basic things like touch recognition and accuracy and load times and even like the notion about the home button, like for the basic stuff that needs to be thought out for a device to really excel, to have that kind of fall down to such a large degree, it's incredibly noticeable. It's not like it's a bit of a problem. It's like obvious. I think it's obvious because the other stuff is so good.
Correct.
You notice it even more.
Exactly. That is why you notice it more.
And it's very, very frustrating. It's beyond sad. It's just frustrating.
Yeah. I'm bummed because the touch, the HP, the pre-original interface was so intuitive. They didn't copy anything. They went a completely different direction.
Yeah.
And nobody saw it coming. And you were, especially, remember when it was announced, when Palm originally announced their new revamped OS, everyone was going crazy for it because
it was so different than what they've been running for years.
It was so innovative.
Yeah.
It was so innovative, and now they can't get it to be not buggy.
And there's really no rush. That's what's stupid. Like, this does not have to come out now. At a certain point, I feel like all these companies have to step back and say, you know what? The iPad, for better or for worse, they're killing it now. You're not going to go – there's no rush to market for that. That mind share is already set, I think. Right. But what you can do is you can come out with a different product that has similar features, but basically different in different ways, better in different ways, and compete on those terms. You're not going to win anything by rushing, you know, by having – just because this isn't going to win any users right here.
Right. You have to have the features that you have – In order to have any chance right now, it has to come out almost flawless. I mean, obviously there's going to be bugs in the system, but on the user experience end,
right,
the touching, the button, all that stuff, you have to vet these things like no tomorrow.
Well, because that's
why the problem.
The iPad, ultimately, in my opinion, like, took off because it is easy to use, and you can give it to a 2-year-old, they can do it. You know, you don't have to think about it.
You can absolutely give it. My little nephew is 2.5, and he uses the iPhone and the iPad, and he knows to go to the button to get to the home screen. And I mean, it's scary.
You know, it has to be that level of ease, not necessarily of ease of use in terms of operating, but the basics. You know, basics like touching. I need to be able to sit down with it and figure out how to use it without any, you know, instruction manual. And the things that I do, they should work perfectly the first time.
So
I don't.
The basics. Yeah. Just the basics need to be working right. If I was going into the Skype video calling app and it was buggy and a little weird, I would totally forgive that.
Yeah.
It wouldn't even register to me. Or if I was going into, you know, something else more advanced. And it was buggy, fine. But the web browser, the basic touching, the screen, screen rotation. Yeah. Those core concepts need to be working perfect.
Yeah.
They need to be working perfect.
All the things that worked perfectly when the first iPad came out and people were like, oh, ooh, this is amazing that it does this simple thing.
Yeah.
And there's about five of them, right? You're right. All need to be delivered on. Exactly.
Yeah. They did do one of them. The keyboard's really nice.
Keyboard's really nice. One thing I mentioned,
right?
They have numbers built into the keyboard. The iPad, you know, does not have numbers built in. That is great. It's very, very – one of my personal frustrations with iOS is that to get to the numbers, you have to hit a number key, then go back, and then it's a pain.
It's
to have it right there, it took me a while to actually remember it was there. I kept looking for the button in the lower left, but once it was there, I'm like, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
So that was really, really nice to have. And, you know,
we didn't get to play any regular video on it.
We didn't go and sync anything up or try like that. But the screen is beautiful. And, you know, overall, Scott's going to spend some more time with it over the next couple weeks. Frustrating.
Yeah. I'll give a little, you know, week on overview after I've used it a little bit and see what I feel. But, you know, we're just a couple of disappointed techies over here today. Yeah.
Well, you know what it is? As much as I love Apple's products, at a certain point, it's not good for their products for everybody else to come out and not succeed.
Right.
You know, it doesn't drive them forward. You know, we've seen so much innovation in iOS and the iPhone side because of Android. You know, it's awesome.
Right.
It's fantastic. My phone is so much more useful and has so much more utility now because of that competition. To see like the tablet space kind of keep falling down, it's frustrating. But you brought up an interesting point. You know, what is this market really? Is it like the cell phone market, or is it like other markets Apple's been in recent years?
Yeah. I mean, well, we were talking about this the other day, and I had this thought that never kind of entered my mind before, was thinking about the iPad like an iPod.
Right.
You know, if you think of the iPod, people wanted iPods because they wanted that device. And nobody else in 10 years has been able to come up with anything that anyone wants as a mobile, you know, music player.
Yeah. And that's across different form factors and different types of devices. And
exactly.
You know, from a hard disk player to the touch and everything.
When they moved into the phone field, very different.
Correct.
Very different. You're dealing with carriers. You're dealing with first of all, a huge market that these – at the end of the day, these players weren't giving up this market. I mean, you know, Nokia's kind of failing and stuff like that. But really, you got the HTCs of the world, and you've got
absolutely
the BlackBerry, even though they're on the way down. But, you know, you had – this was a huge market that they were jumping into.
Correct.
Right.
And it was a market that was – well, I guess it was evolving in a certain sense too. But I mean, that's not really to the point.
But it was – I mean, you know, so if you think about the iPad as not, you know, a computer, it's a device in itself. It's the iPad. It's just the tablet. Basically, Apple took this, brought it to market, and everybody trying to jump on board, it doesn't work. It doesn't work because it's not – people don't want the tablet.
Which they could have gotten the iPad. Tablet because the tablets have been available in one form or another for, right? 10 years.
It's not the tablet concept is what it's seeming.
Yeah.
It's the iPad.
Well, that's that thing. Yeah. It's like, is there a tablet market or is there an iPad market?
Right. And that's what it's seeming to be. I mean, that's what it's seeming to be right now.
Yeah. And it's, this might change. I mean, I hope it changes.
And it might change.
Because I think people's needs will become more specific as the market grows and it becomes, more broad, more people adopt it, there will be different needs and whatnot.
Also I think the iPod also kind of snuck up on people a little bit. And that's why you didn't see a billion other iPod-type devices come out right after it.
Well, it was so expensive at the time.
Like the iPad, it was boom. And then everyone started trying to catch up. The iPod just kind of slowly came in and
iPod, like everybody hated it. I mean, and people thought it was ridiculous. And, you go back, you can go on Mac boards, discussion boards, to 10 years ago, whatever it was.
Right.
And people were like, oh, this is the biggest stupid thing Apple's ever done. That's a terrible idea, blah, 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 blah. Which was funny because who really knew? Because I am of the opinion at this point that when they did that, they had a notion in their heads that would one day lead to the stuff we have today. Like, maybe. I think there was there wasn't like a roadmap, but there was an inclination.
Yeah. It's possible. Definitely possible.
Basically the way people like use devices and how they can move that along.
I'm curious to see what happens with the, in the tablet space. I mean, somebody has to, these people are coming out with tablets and they're nice and there's some cool stuff. But if you think about the R&D that Apple did to get the first iPad out was probably years.
Oh, yeah. That was supposedly happening before the iPhone.
Yeah. This touchpad, this is not years in the making. This is, we got to get a tablet out there. We have a great OS. Let's do it.
Yeah.
You need that R&D time to get a quality device to compete.
But what's most frustrating about the touchpad, though, is that it's not the hardware. It is simply the software. That's the problem. Like, that's what's more frustrating than anything else.
Yeah. They didn't get the kinks out of it. So, anyway.
And one thing, too, that is missing – and this is where Amazon, I think, is going to have a huge leg up, is that, a big part of these tablet devices is media consumption. Not all of it, but a lot of it.
And I think it's huge. I mean, that's
– yeah. Nobody is coming – there's two things. There's media consumption and there's apps, right? And no one is coming to the table with the kind of media solution built in the way the iPad is. Amazon has a shot because they've got the infrastructure. They've got the background. They're the ones that can come out with their own Android variant or, whatever, Honeycomb, whatever they want to do. And be like, okay, here this is. And here, right out of the box, you can go and get all your music, all your movies, and it's ready to go.
Right.
And that's a real incentive for buyers. Because everybody else, it's people. I couldn't recommend you spend $500 or something that you have to then wait around for a platform to develop, or an ecosystem to develop around for.
Think about how you use the iPad. I'm curious because I don't have a tablet, but out of all the time combined that you spend on the iPad, how much of it is actually web browsing in the browser?
A majority.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's not in apps. It's not music. It's not video. It's not...
My iPad usage is actually very... I don't do any
reading...
music. I don't do... I have a Kindle. I don't do any reading on it. I don't listen to any music. Music is all on my iPhone for myself.
Huh.
I do lots of Netflix streaming to it. I do lots Netflix. Of, reading, either on the... through an RSS reader or on the browser, on the browser. Or... sorry, on my Instapaper. Excuse me, Instapaper.
Right.
Like I'll throw articles, and then I'll read them back on Instapaper, and lots of Twitter usage.
But you find most of it, you're actually on the browser?
Most of my browsing, yes, definitely within the browser itself.
I would think it would be the opposite, just because of the way people use apps so much.
There's not a lot of apps that I use that, at least on the tablet, that function that way.
Ah.
For me, it's like I use the Facebook app all the time, and I use I use the Twitter app. I guess that counts, on the iPad. Even on my phone, there's more stuff that's all app based. On the tablet, my usage is a bit more streamlined and specific.
Hmm.
Or I'll do music stuff with GarageBand, or I'll use Pages. I'll do that kind of thing. Most of my browsing is definitely, within the browser. In fact, I do the majority of my browsing in general when I'm at home on the iPad versus my desktop machine.
And I don't think that's the case with the phones. I think the phones are primary app usage.
That makes it a lot more – sense.
Yeah, what I'm saying?
No, it's smaller form factor. And yeah, exactly. It makes more sense to have this thing that's tailored to that experience where you have enough screen space in a 9.7-inch screen to do real browsing.
Right.
And I'm very excited. In iOS 5 with the tab browsing, it is so much nicer.
Yeah, tab browsing is great.
And there's one tweak in iOS 5 that it's a small thing, but it has made a night and day difference in my day-to-day usage. When you used to go and open up a new tab on Safari, mobile Safari on the iPad, it would basically bring that tab to the forefront With iOS 5, you can open up tabs in the background. And it sounds like a small thing, but it is night and day in terms of practical day-to-day usage.
Nice. That's funny. All right. So that's the HP touchpad. And we've got some pictures of our unboxing, which we will post up, which is pretty cool.
And the other big news today, and huge news this week, was Google finally announced that people had been rumored for over a year. People knew it was coming. They had to do something to go and compete against Facebook to get their foot into social. And Google Plus was finally announced and released in limited bits
to the wild.
Yeah. We've both been on it.
We were lucky enough to get some invites,
yeah,
which was cool.
Yeah. And what is your takeaway?
Well, okay. I've been trying to process it all week, mm-hmm. you know. I really like the feel of it mm-hmm. in general. The design, I think, is nice. It's clean. It's relatively easy to use. I mean, there's some concepts that you have to get your head around. But in general,
yeah.
I was able to jump right cool. in.
And let's go and give an overview with this. People know okay, what we're
yeah,
talking
what
about
the
first.
Features are.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, it's the idea that it's, you know, if you think of Facebook, you have a bunch of friends and stuff. It's the same kind of idea. It uses your right. Google account profile. There's a bunch of different components that make it up. The main difference from Facebook is something called Circles. And that basically is different groups that you know would share with, and you can, you know, it comes preset with, you know,
friends,
yeah. acquaintances, and then following, which is people you would go on, such like, you know, like on Twitter, you would right. follow them, but you don't know them in real life,
right?
It's and you can, anytime you share anything, you can basically choose which of those groups you share it with, or is there public at all,
or public to everything, yeah. Which I think is one of the best features of this whole thing.
100%.
I mean it. And here's my prediction. I'm actually predicting this right now. In the not too distant future, that becomes a Facebook feature.
Circles?
Something like that.
Yeah, we'll get to later.
Quickly.
I think every single there are several killer features on here, and I think
there really are.
Every single one. We'll get to this.
Okay.
Later,
well, let's. That'll be the end of it. Okay.
Facebook's not sitting still. Yeah. We'll get to it in a second.
So that the circles part is the first thing, and you set up your circles, and you have your friends, and then you can. When you post on Facebook, you write, I'm sitting at the computer drinking coffee. You can share that to everybody, or mm-hmm. you can share it to only your friends, or only your family, or only your work group, or yeah. whatever you
want. And you can also control your stream on the left, basically, like, you know, who's post you want to watch? Just your friends, just your family, just your acquaintances, like whoever. You can sort your stream by that as well.
And it's a nice, clean interface, very easy to use. So that's the first thing. The second feature is the what's it called photos, right?
Oh, there's a photo you talk about. There's an Android feature. You can basically, any photos you take will go and get uploaded directly to it. Is that the
deal? Yeah, they have an app for the phone, for the Android phone, very similar to the Facebook thing, and they have a feature very similar to what iOS 5 has coming out with PhotoStream, where it live uploads every picture you take to your Google Plus account. Yeah. And then very easy to share directly from there with anybody in your Google Plus life.
Correct.
And also, I did notice it syncs it with your Picasa web account if you have one.
Mm-hmm.
So that actually came up right away.
And another feature, and this to me is a huge killer feature, and it may be not an exclusive feature for long, as we'll get to later in the show, but something called Hangout. And Hangout is up
Hangout's
to...
cool.
I think it's up to like, is it like 10 people or 25 people? It's a lot of people. It's basically a group video chat. So you can basically set it up and hang out with you can invite people to it, and you can hang out with them all, having this big group video chat. And it's all right there within, you know, Google Plus. And you can also share, you can also have a chat sidebar. You can also go and share like YouTube videos. It's really cool.
And the nice thing, the Hangout, when you initiate a Hangout, it just tells everyone you can let it be known that you're just hanging out, waiting for people to video chat with. And anyone can jump into your Hangout.
Yeah. Assuming you can set permissions, I think, who can jump in. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's great.
Did you try it? You tried it, right?
Yeah. It's awesome. It is so much fun.
And it really works well.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things, too, where I was at work today, and like, I'm like, you know, I really wish that they would – we have terrible computers at work. But I'm like, I really wish we had terrible computers with video cameras, because I would love to go and drop into a Hangout from time to time around my lunch break or something.
You guys don't have cameras on the
– Oh, no. We have these terrible Dell boxes, and like – I'm surprised I'm not blind for the monitors we have. It's terrible. It's terrible. It's not good. It's not okay.
That's really funny.
there's also a feature called Huddles, which is basically – we've talked about GroupMe on here before.
Oh, yeah, Huddles,
it's a group messaging app. It's not implemented yet on the web service. It's basically only through the Android app at the moment.
Yeah. Now, I noticed something really weird. I tested it out, mm-hmm. and it works very similar to a GroupMe. You choose your group of people, and then you can text –
Sure.
Quote-unquote text back and forth, group chat, basically. you can't get rid of a group.
Oh, when you mean you can't delete it from the app?
I can't get rid of it. There's no delete. So if you created a group, I created just like a test group with me right. and our friend Mike, and I can't get rid of this.
Well, I'm sure they'll get rid of it soon.
But it's yeah. funny.
And basically, there is an Android app for it. It looks really, really nice. There is an iOS app that's been submitted and hasn't been released yet. And in the meantime, there also is a mobile web app that is very, very nice for what it is. You can't do things like, you know, upload photos and stuff like that. So it's a little bit limiting. You can check in and read.
Yeah.
But you can't do a lot more than that from the mobile app, mobile web app at least.
Right. Yes.
And like you can't add
– But it's nice and clean and it's –
Yeah, and you can't add people to your circles and stuff.
No,
it's pretty limited.
No.
There's also a feature called Sparks, and this is kind of not really fleshed out yet, but I think this is where there's a big potential for a lot of interesting things to happen. Sparks are basically things that interest you, topics of conversation. If you zoom into mine, for example, it would be like, you know, technology, Apple, film, music, and Joy Division because I like all those things.
And then it pulls up articles
from that, correct, which right now is just kind of like seems like a standalone thing. There is a great, great possibility and potential here to go and overlay that information with your friends. So you can talk to only your friends that like Joy Division or talk to only your friends that like technology or all that kind of stuff. Or only, you know, articles on technology that friends have like recommended. There's a lot of interesting crossover potential there that takes the place of a lot of ways different services have been using, you know, Twitter and that kind of thing.
Yeah, totally.
It's not there yet, but it's interesting.
But no, that is very interesting. Now, also, the way you – obviously, you can sign into the Google Plus by going to their homepage. But also, with the new Google bar that everyone I'm sure has seen now, the black bar on the top – you can access – it has your name and plus next to it all the way to the left, and you can access your Google Plus directly from there.
Yeah. And here's the big thing, because you say there's a new social network, right? And you're like, okay, that's great. It looks a lot like Facebook. Everyone's going to kind of want to use it like Facebook. How's this going to take off? And at first you go, there's no way this can take off because why would you bother? You already have so much time, energy, media, relationships invested in Facebook. Don't bother, right? And what you're talking about is where Google has a secret leg up. Basically, a lot of people spend – all day long in Gmail. Yeah. I at work spend a lot of time in, you know, the Google Reader web interface.
And even people that have businesses that have the Google apps, their business is on that page.
And so every time you're using a Google service, you're going to go and see in the upper right-hand corner a red dot whenever somebody does anything to your Google Plus page. So you're there. In terms of like stickiness, that's what keeps people coming back to social networks, right?
Right.
If you use it once, it's neat and you never come back, it's dead. It's Google Buzz, right? But this – there's no matter what you're doing, there's always that incentive to go back, and it's very smart what they did.
It is smart.
Because if this basically it's sneaky, it's leveraging all their other services to promote
their other one.
But at the same time, if it's easy and it's cool, I'll keep on using it.
However, many people have to jump ship basically from Facebook and start using this for it to matter.
Right. And here's what's interesting
right
now.
That's the problem.
Right now, I love this service right now. I think it's so much
fun with it.
Well, that's the thing. Right now, it's like the Wild West, right?
Yeah.
There's no rules. It's not the. It's honestly. It's
nobody
like
really
the internet.
Cares about it.
It's like being on the internet back in the day. It's like literally. It's like way, way back in the day when it was like when it was like specialized services and that
it's
kind
all
of stuff.
Techies and
it was all Wild West, and so you have there. It's all
early
a bunch
adopters.
Of early adopters and like social media people, and it's really, really fun because it's
it
kind
is
of
fun.
Like. You know, you're getting watched on Facebook and you're getting watched on Twitter to a certain degree. And like in this, you can just do whatever and everybody's just kind of feeling it out. That's fun. That's great. However, I don't know if that's going to translate into a larger platform.
I mean,
larger
you
service.
Really
I don't know.
Here's how I feel about social in general. I don't think, and it's unfortunate, but I don't think multiple social services can coexist that are doing the same thing. It doesn't make sense unless they're
the
very specialty device. Like if you're going to, let's say, a social site that is only for film lovers, okay, that can coexist with a Facebook. I can see that.
Sure.
But basically this is a competition of Facebook. They're competing directly with exactly what Facebook does.
Well, do you remember? I think you're exactly right. I think you can't go one-to-one unless you have some sort of crazy additional functionality that nobody else can have.
That no one else can have, yeah.
But think about back in the day. Everybody was in MySpace. Facebook first came up. Obviously, it first came up through colleges, right? But then when it went broad, what did you first hear about Facebook? I'm curious.
That it was simple and clean and easy.
Yes.
Right?
It was the grown-up MySpace, right? Because it was not a bunch of flashy crap.
And you didn't –
it wasn't like a pink – it wasn't a dog with a pink collar like flashing at my face.
It was simple.
Yeah. It was like a clean Spartan interface. You know,
mm-hmm. That was the biggest thing.
And like, it felt like, and you can, you can use it for like work and networking for work because it's for grownups.
Right.
That was the big deal. So that could, it kind of built up that way. It was a Trojan horse. Right?
And like people talked about, like, I had friends who said, oh, I'm not using that anymore because this is way cleaner and easier. Yeah. Right. So let's put that in the Google Plus context. Is, what would you say?
Exactly.
I mean, I would, here's what I would say. I would say the circles, circles, right?
Yeah.
Is an amazing feature. Just wait till Facebook comes out with it.
Yeah. Well, like right now, anybody, if you're an early adopter, if you're a geek, honestly, if you're listening to this show, you'll probably want to check it out.
Right.
And it's an immense amount of fun.
Oh.
But I find myself.
They did a great, I mean, this is a, it's this is. And they went full force on this.
And they did a lot of like, for the first time, it's like I'm using a Google product for the first time and it actually seems like it's designed, which is
very
so
well
novel.
Designed. Yeah.
And just, wow, it's like, ooh. And of course who is it? The guy who was on the original Macintosh design
team. I can't remember his name.
I'm looking at his name. But he had basically free reign to do whatever he wanted. And it shows. It's very fun. I made a comment right in the beginning. I'm like, this feels like I'm, you know, living in Super Mario Brothers. Because everything you do has like, you know, it boings and it like, you know, pops and like everything.
And like when you're dragging people into circles, it's this cool animated little graphic and you know,
just
you drag
a lot
people
of fun.
In there.
It made it very
stuff.
Easy and very fun to use.
Yeah.
But in terms of like added value above other services, I don't know. Like video chat, Facebook has made an announcement that they're going to announce something really, really awesome, as you said earlier, next week. Nobody knows what it is. It's going to be the Facebook iPad
app. Zuckerberg tries to be cool. I mean, listen, the guy is an interesting guy, but he's not cool. I'm sorry.
Oh, he says something's awesome, I believe. I'm down with that. I'll see. I'll wait.
No, but
see what
you know, a guy like that should be just, we're coming up with something innovative and interesting. When he says awesome, it makes him sound
honestly
geeky.
He is a geek.
I know, but
what makes you
but he's trying.
Do you really think he's a normal CEO?
No, but I think he's trying to be cool by saying awesome.
But he's the geeky. That's why. That's what he is. If he started talking,
I got nothing
like,
against him.
You want him to talk like the Rim guys? No. I'm all down with
good
him and
point.
His like.
Yeah,
you know,
good point. Good
hoodie
point.
And flip flops might be dorky. I love it. That's who he is. Roll with it.
But anyway, you were saying.
But yeah, it's like so. In the nobody knows what this feature is going to be yet. But some people are saying it might be. They might be announcing a partnership with Skype. And that's the first thing I did with Google Plus. I'm like, first of all, I love Hangout. I want that in everything right now. Eventually, it'll be in Facebook. Yeah. But here's the thing too. Certain things like that. Everybody's on Facebook. Right? That's its strength. The strength of Google Plus is that not everybody is on it. I'm fine
now,
having an open Hangout thing.
Yeah.
But if everybody's on it, I don't want to be doing a Hangout if my parents can come onto it or whoever. Just because it's
now
it's
also
about,
you know,
preserving, like, you know, it's by preserving your social privacy in a way that Facebook does not do, and that is a leg up it has.
There doesn't seem to be a way to accept or decline friends like
no, it's just like Twitter because it's not actual
so
friends.
That's interesting.
It's not actually friends.
You're following,
correct.
I guess. I guess if somebody's not in your circle, then you're not sharing the information with them. So.
Yeah, they can choose to share with you.
Right.
You don't have to share with them.
Which is
it's all one way. Yeah,
really, they did this right.
It's very very
I mean,
smart.
At the end of the day, they kind of nailed this. I just don't know if it can coexist.
Yeah. Well, it has to evolve to have a very different function. I think Facebook. Is so sticky and is so successful because of its wide open, you know, philosophy. You know, people go and complain about wanting to go and like make it private, but ultimately it's about discovering people and discovering things you wouldn't want otherwise. Because if you can choose, if I can choose exactly whose stuff I see, I'm not going to get the utility out of Facebook that I get out of it today.
Right.
You know, it's about Facebook for me is about the surprises.
I mean,
I haven't talked to so-and-so from high school in 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, they had a kid.
Right.
Cool. And then you reconnect. Right. That's what makes it powerful. This is more about knowing who you want to connect with.
Yeah, that's true. And obviously, the big test is going to be when this thing obviously goes public because they had – you know, this thing is an invite-only beta.
Yeah, and they had it open for like 7 to 8 hours and they locked it down.
It sounds like this thing just got crazy slammed. They said – I mean their quote was that they had an insane amount of requests. And I don't think – I honestly think they were surprised.
Oh, I don't think so.
I think they were surprised.
I think so.
I think they were because it sounds like it went nuts. Like, I think it sounds like it went viral really quick,
but
I don't think they were expecting that.
I guarantee you they did because
I don't know.
If they wanted to really keep it down, because here's the thing, it's all about exclusivity. How do they make it seem fancy? If they wanted to go and make it, you know, pare it down, give it out, give everybody 5 invites, you keep it small that way.
Sure.
You know, you plan out how to make it small.
Yeah.
This, you could send out, you can invite as many people as you wanted, then they shut it down, suddenly it's exclusive. Everybody wants to go and get behind the private room. I think it's all planned to go and make it seem really, really fancy and make you want to get in.
I mean, when I signed up, I didn't think I would do what I did. And because it was so simple, I started inviting everybody.
Oh, yeah.
I just started inviting people like crazy. I didn't think I was going to do that. You know, like, it wasn't in my head that I would do that, but I just instinctively wanted to invite people because I wanted to use it. And in order to use it, you need people in it.
Yeah, and I think they knew that. I think they know that.
I don't know. I wonder.
Yeah, because I think it's very, very good for them to be like to say, oh, it was out of control. And like it was, oh, because I think most, because regular people now are hearing about it and they can't get in.
Sure.
Because that, and also that was part of the allure in Facebook, right? The college kids love it. You can only get in if you're in college.
Yeah.
True. You know, it's a private, exclusive club. You can't
right.
get in.
Right.
We'll let you know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it also made them feel safe.
Sure. But I mean, it's Google. They can scale to whatever they want, in my opinion. They have that. I mean, you know.
Sure. No, no. I'm not saying I don't think they could handle it. I just don't think. I don't know. I just feel like they expected big. They got bigger.
Maybe.
That's Maybe. What I – that's yeah. kind of how I
feel. I do think they're smart to cap it though, because there are certain things that you can't tell about this kind of, you know, service – what's going to work, what community standards are going to be until people actually start using it. And that stuff kind of like resolves itself and becomes apparent as you use it.
That is true.
You can't test that. You can't put that in a vacuum.
That's true.
You know? But yeah, I'm enjoying it. Yeah. And I feel bad. We actually, you know, we're giving this out some invites to some listeners on our, you know, Facebook and our Twitter pages. And then like they closed
it. And they closed it on us.
So we sorry we couldn't do more. We wanted to, guys. But yeah, I'm very interested to see where it goes from here. Like, I think a lot will depend on what when they open it up again and what kind of, you know, what the next steps are. And honestly, how quickly Facebook responds.
That's true. Which I think, obviously, as soon – you know that they got some invites.
Sure. Of
and
course.
I think they were, okay, how can we – and if they're smart, the first thing they're going to do is go after this Circles concept. Yeah.
Well, Circles is already kind of like lists. You already have lists. You can always define who you share with by lists.
But not in your post.
Yeah, you can.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can. I think I can. You can do it from like the mobile app.
No, because you can just share to your groups, but you can't do it. It's not in one. It's not in the same screen. Like right there, when you type something, can you change? Can you choose?
Yeah, right here.
But that's only your like block. Your like.
That's my status updates. Whenever I do a status update or make any change in Facebook, I can determine which of my lists I share it with.
Interesting. So then there's nothing new about Circles.
The way it's
I don't know. I mean, I don't use that. I didn't even know you could do that.
Oh wait, can I take this back? People
isn't that only like people who that's per post.
You're right. You can go well that's the same thing on per post or Circles. Facebook you can basically hide it from certain people.
Yes, that's
but you, so. It's like that it's more I know because like I have blocked
groups and stuff. Yeah.
Right, it's exclusive that's versus different. Inclusive. You're correct.
Yeah,
okay. I mean you can go and prevent people from seeing it, but the default is why. Then you remove versus like
the difference
choosing,
is yeah. I'm shooting it out to these people, not correct. I'm preventing these people from
correct,
seeing
correct.
It.
Correct. Correct.
Yes. Correct. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I was like I knew there had to be a difference.
Yeah. Which I mean, honestly, is a complete different way of thinking about
it
the problem.
It is very, very.
You know. And they have to say they're very, very smart to take the approach that, you know, we're going to protect your privacy. The fact that it's Google saying we're going to protect your privacy is kind of funny, but still in terms of like, you know, using the service, that's smart because that's how they can differentiate because that is a weak point for Facebook.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Whew, this was a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
It was just two things. It was a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's fun.
Was there anything else we wanted to talk about? Because I feel like we should just mention a couple of news things if we wanted to.
You know, Apple posted a follow-up to their Final Cut Pro thing, but we can go into that another time. There's nothing, no new information on that, basically.
I was just quickly going to – the new interface is kind of out there in the wild for Gmail.
Oh, correct.
Which is pretty nice. It's a lot cleaner, very Google Plus-like. And they have a new interface for the Google Calendar, which has a nice quick add feature, which is cool.
Cool. And all that, is incorporating the new Google title bar.
Yeah.
One thing I gotta say I don't like about the new design, Google's well-known, obviously, for having that perfectly clean, you know, white page.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, and now
the title bar is now black at the top. I don't like it. Something about us having that pure white page with the search result at the top,
true.
I like that.
Yeah.
Something about it makes it feel a little bit, I don't know, doesn't feel as nice. There's no, like, you know, any kind of intellectual way to intellectualize it, but...
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Oh, and one other thing that we just actually happened a couple hours ago. We've obviously been looking at all these different developer releases of Mac OS X Lion 10.7 coming out.
Right.
Today, Apple released to developers the first Gold Master build.
Yes.
Which should everything, you know, go to plan, that should probably come out as soon as next week.
Yeah, I mean, the earliest is going to be next week.
Tuesday.
And, you know, the latest is going to be 2 weeks. I mean, this thing is going to be out soon. And I'm feeling it's going to be next week because the stock for the minis and the MacBook Air and one other device has been pulled. And there was already a rumor that those refreshes were going to come out on the 6th.
Oh, really? I didn't hear the 6th rumor.
That was last the other day. So I feel,
that makes sense.
I feel like that may be the day for all of this.
Right. They're obviously were holding back all those devices till the new OS came out, because especially for the MacBook Air, integration with iCloud, all that stuff, full screen, it is made for the MacBook Air.
I'm really – oh, it's – I mean perfect for the MacBook Air. I'm really waiting. The first thing I really want to try is an upgrade.
Yeah.
Because I haven't been able to do that. You know, the only thing I've seen is a full install from scratch. So I want to see how it upgrades a machine. And, you know, when I get back, there will be fun tons of stuff to do.
Yeah. I'm going to have to install it. I think I said this last week. Install it to a different – an external drive just to like wait to see how certain applications –
see what runs and what doesn't run. Yeah.
I'm very excited to try it out.
Yeah. And people, if you use OS X and you still have – we mentioned this last week. If you have any, you know, PowerPC – not PowerPC, but non-Intel applications running, check and see.
Because PowerPC.
Because if you upgrade to Lion, that support is gone. So there's no Rosetta anymore.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it's been...
That's fine. It makes sense.
When did OS X first come out?
Well, OS X?
Yeah.
Like 10 years ago?
Wait, I'm sorry. I was thinking of classic environment.
When 10.5
and Intel only? Okay.
Yeah. So it's been a few years.
Yeah. They're good about that. I mean, they were good about that in this case.
No, they played that perfect, and I think it's time to phase that out. It makes complete sense.
Definitely.
I have no issue with that at all.
It's unclear why they didn't do that with Final Cut Pro, but that is an entirely different show.
Yeah.
My opinion on that has changed, by the way, over the last week. My opinion is it's evolved. It's evolved. I'll say that.
Still feel the same way.
I think. No, I mean, not for the better. Not for the worse. I'll say what I said before. The new Mac Pros are going to basically inform my take on the whole Final Cut Pro thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. You
know, okay.
Depending if those come out, if those are awesome, and I mean other people have said this isn't like an original thought necessarily, but if those are awesome, then I think that bodes really, really well. And I think they have that intention of keeping Final Cut Pro as a pro application. They just botched the delivery. If they do not exist, if it's just the same case with like some upgraded innards and it's not even that far advanced, then maybe the pro market isn't that profitable or interesting to them anymore. We'll see.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it still is sexy, and you know, at the end of the movie when it says "Made with Final Cut Pro," and there's big directors out there talking about
that.
Awesome. It's just good for Apple.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good. It's good. It's always good to go and engender lots of goodwill from the entertainment industry.
Yeah, because you know, providing you content, man.
Yeah, and they'll talk you up, and like you know, it's good to see the Apple logo on all those TV shows, and people are happy.
I mean, you see it all the time.
Yeah,
that's all over the place.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah. So this week my food stuff is pretty weak. Unfortunately, I didn't get to really do much, but I wanted to mention a cool site that I found regarding food called Food Republic. And these guys are great. It's information about food. They have awesome recipes that they keep posting, just very easy. And if you want something to try out, they posted a great chicken parmesan recipe that's very easy to make, and a chicken parmesan sub recipe that is simple. They write, you know, just you can like them on Facebook, and you can obviously go to their site and all that stuff. So this is brief this week, unfortunately. I'm kind of mad at myself that I didn't have anything better, but it was just one of those weeks that I wasn't able to do it. But I'm going to go on a food crazy, insane binge over the next 10 days when I go to Chicago. I'm going to go to a thing called the Taste of Chicago, which is a huge, huge food festival in downtown Chicago. I mean, they get millions of people come to this thing, and it's amazing, and I will report about that next week. And I'm going to the Girl and the Goat, which is a restaurant that Stephanie, the winner of Top Chef, her restaurant in Chicago. So I'm going to be going there, and sure to be other many things to follow up on my food adventures.
Are you bringing or have sent back a Chicago pizza?
I'm gonna have that sent to us, and we're gonna have it in studio, because bringing awesome. Carrying it back on the
plane, that's what I want for breakfast on a Saturday morning.
Oh man, I want that for every meal. God, I really wish I had more food this week. I'm actually kind of bummed. I just didn't have anything, and I didn't have time. It's too bad.
It's a busy week.
It was a busy week.
It was a very busy week.
And it was just one of those weeks. But please check out Food Republic. I love this site. I really do love what they're doing, and so I would love to drive them traffic, and you know, it's a very cool site. So
very cool.
That's what I got.
Cool. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Happy 4th of July if you are on the U.S. domestic side.
Yes, happy 4th of July.
Have a great long weekend, and we'll see you guys next week.
I'm Scott.
I'm Brian. Take care.